We who call upon the Lord have received grace upon grace, life everlasting. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. This is the time in our worship service when we share our lives together and lift prayers for ourselves and for the people we love in our lives. And today I want to ask a special prayer for our church and for my family and I, as we've announced this week that we're making a big change and taking a new call into a new church in California. I know many of you already know about this, and some of you might just hear it right now for the first time. So I ask for your prayers for Lisa and me and Abigail as we move into a new phase of life and ministry, and for this church, our beloved home. As this church also moves into a new time in ministry with faith in God. That's my prayer. I wonder if there's any more today. Andrew.
I have a joy today, which is the announcement this week of the new president of Brown, Chris Paxson. She's a friend of mine, been a friend for 20 years. We've done some work together. She's a great economist and leader, but also a great person. I would just pray that she lead with wisdom, and we have the wisdom to be led.
Chris for Brown University, and Chris Paxson as she begins her presidency. Judy.
On Wednesday, my nephew's girlfriend, Rhonda, who's in her 40s, had a stroke. And they think that she's going to recover completely, but she needs prayers.
Prayers for Rhonda recovering from a stroke. What prayers? Megan.
Just a joy today that you guys are all able to be here to celebrate the baptism of Brooke and to have all of our family here. Because like Dave, this is a very special community, and we will also be sad when we are leaving as well this summer. But we're very happy to be having Dave and Chris baptizing Brooke into the Christian faith.
Thanks, Megan. Giving thanks to God for baby Brooke at her baptism and for the Hanson and Backman families here today. Other prayers. Jenny.
Prayers for my brother-in-law, Mark. He's going through some surgery tomorrow, so just prayers for a good surgery and a good recovery.
Prayers for Mark and his surgery. Dave Spader.
Continued prayers for my niece, Rebecca. She starts the bone marrow transplant process this week, so just ongoing prayers for her and her family.
Prayers for Rebecca and for Dave, who has shaved his head in solidarity with Rebecca. You can take a look at the coffee hour. CJ.
I think this sounds trivial in comparison to what other people have been saying, but I am very grateful for disaster teams that come in a matter of a few hours, and when you have a basement finished room under 8 inches of water with boxes floating. So in a month, it'll be back together again.
For disaster relief teams and for the Midwest, who have been racked by these storms this week.
Thank you. I have a friend, Deborah, who's been waiting for a lung transplant and has been in Rhode Island Hospital for the past 3 months, unable to get strong enough to be transplanted, to Boston. For further tests, and just had another setback that she fell down and broke her back. So I ask for prayer for her that she doesn't go in the wrong direction, get stronger, and can continue with her transplant.
Prayers for Deborah at the setback and for continued strength. Other prayers today. Hi, Cheryl.
Continued prayers for Melinda, who is with us today up in the nursery with her grandchildren. She's continuing treatment and doing very well.
Great. A joy to have Melinda back with us. Hi there. Praying for her today. Jill.
Prayers for Kenya and for Ann Wangesum, who worshipped with us while she was at Brown. She sounds discouraged. I don't know what the details are, but she is not easily discouraged. So let's pray.
We pray for Anne and for in Kenya and for encouragement this day. Other prayers. Lisa.
Just prayers for Abigail. She's been sick this week, and she's got, you know, gook in her lungs, and that always makes me nervous. So prayers for her, but probably mostly for me.
Prayers for Abigail, if you're wondering where she is, she's sick at home right now. Thanks. Other prayers. Mark.
I want to thank everybody for your prayers for Joseph and our family. We had a good court hearing on Thursday, and the state of Rhode Island has pretty much put a deadline now of 3 more months for the father to get his act together. Sorry. Probably a more polite way of saying that, but thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Continue prayers for the Weber family and for Joseph and for this whole process. Kathy.
We had the joy last week of celebrating with my grandmother her 100th birthday in Ohio. And so I'm so glad we could be there and would love prayers for her in whatever months, years she has left, that it would be a blessed remaining time of her life. And there's one thing going on in her family that's still a little bit messy, and I would love to pray that would be reconciled for her before she dies one day. And then I would also love to give thanks for my sister and brother-in-law. They are having their fourth baby and just found out it's a boy, and would love prayers for them. She's getting a little bit older. This was a surprise baby, and just for special grace and strength for them. Her name's Susan.
Thanks. Prayers of celebration for Susan and for 100 years of life, for Kathy's grandmother, and for reconciliation. The prayers. Allison.
A few weeks back, we asked for prayers for Jessica and her baby, and she actually delivered at 25 weeks. And the baby is doing well. She held the baby for the first time yesterday. Baby weighs a whopping 1 pound and 11 ounces now. And then also prayers of thanksgiving that my parents were safe in Indiana. So.
Wow. Praise God for this this birth, and we pray for Jessica and her baby, Elise, Jessica and Elise, and for parents in Indiana. Other prayers.
Let us pray. Creative and creating God, you are over, under, within, and beneath us, enlivening us with your spirit, strengthening us by your grace. Into this world you have called us to be your people. Into this season you lead us to ever deeper places of reflection, to trust in you as we come again to the Easter story, the central reality of our faith. You are alive. We pray, O Lord, this day for the people of the Midwest of our country, torn by tornadoes and storms, worlds tossed upside down. We give thanks for those that we know who are safe in the midst of that, and we give thanks for those who reach out in times of disaster in such times. We pray for your strength for those communities affected, for your healing, and for your hope. We pray, O Lord, for our world, for continuing destruction in Syria and other parts of the Middle East. We pray that you would bring healing and peace to a world too often in strife. Strengthen all your people by your grace. Bring peace and justice near and far. We give thanks, O God, for signs of healing in our midst as we joyously celebrate this day, the baptism of Brooke, with all of this family gathered from near and far. We pray your continuing strengthening hand upon Jessica and Elise, and thank you for that safe delivery. We pray for all the children in our midst, for Susan in this fourth pregnancy, for hope in adoption and answers to prayer in such timely time. You remind us, O God, that you answer our prayers. You beckon us to seek, to knock, to ask, to keep our eyes focused upon you. We give thanks, O Lord, for this day, for the wider community, for the new president at Brown. May she lead with wisdom, and may the Brown community have the wisdom to be led. We pray, O Lord, for families together, for hope and possibilities that we can seldom imagine. We pray in thanksgiving for Kathy's grandmother's 100th birthday and pray for reconciliation in the family where that is needed. We pray, O Lord, this day for those who are struggling with illness and facing unknowns, for Julie's brother Jim in the ups and downs of his illness, for Deborah, for Rhonda, for Mark, for Rebecca, for Abigail and Anne, homesick. We ask your blessing, O Lord, in thanksgiving for the joys and the visible celebration of answers to prayer and Melinda's presence with us here with her grandchildren. You have, O God, richly blessed this community of your people with gifts and talents, with people committed to seek and live as you call us, and you will continue to do so. Help us to have faith to see what cannot be seen in these days, to trust in your unfailing love and provision as we seek day by day to live faithfully into the future that you have for each one of us and together as a community of faith. We give thanks, O God, this day for the tangible signs of your presence in these sacraments that we celebrate, your table, your font. Feed us again with your mysterious presence, and may your living waters ever move us. We pray in the sustaining power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who calls us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The children are excused to go down to their classes this morning, and we pray that you will be strengthened in your time together with your teachers as they lead you in learning more about Jesus.
Good morning. Our first lesson this morning is taken from the book, Psalm chapter 51, verses 1 to 12. It can be found in your pew Bible on page 492 and large print Bible page 640. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you alone, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless when you pass judgment. Indeed, I was born guilty, a sinner, when my mother conceived me. You desire truth in an inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me your joy of your salvation and sustain me in willing spirit. The New Testament lesson is taken from the book. It's taken from Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. That can be found in your pew Bible on page 76 and large print page 99. He also told his parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like the tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of all my income. But a tax collector, standing far off, would not even look up to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. What a strange kind of day this is turning out to be. I know for many of you the strangeness started a couple days ago when you received a seemingly innocent letter in the mail from the church. Maybe you thought it was a pledge card, or a newsletter, or a reminder that TNT is starting this Tuesday night from 6 to 8, dinner included, childcare provided. We hope to see you there. But the truth was more surprising than that. When I told Elena, the organist, this week about this big change and our upcoming move back to California, she told me she was planning to bring a dozen eggs in with her this morning, pass them out to everyone in case you wanted to throw them at me. She was just kidding, I think. But it is a day of mixed emotions, of smiles and tears that are mixed in all together. I had to laugh as we were planning out our 5-week sermon series for Lent about prayer, because I realized that this would be the weekend when we made this announcement, and our prayer topic for today is confession. Somehow it seems kind of appropriate, doesn't it? The best definition that I can give you for what this word means, this word confession, is that it simply means telling the truth. Confession is about telling the truth. And the truth is that for me, thinking about leaving PPC and following God's call into a new place has been really, really hard. It's been hard to think about, it's been hard to figure out, and it's been hard to keep it to myself. And so today, on this day when we have a mix of emotions, I have to admit that it feels kind of good to finally have it out, to share this news with you, hard as it is. Because if there's any place where we can tell the truth, if there's any place where we can be open and honest, if there's any place where the joys and concerns and sorrows and realities of our lives can be shared and met with faith and hope and love, well, this is the place. And so I want to turn with you again today to God's word in Scripture, trusting that this day, as every day, God has a message and a meaning for our lives. And so let's turn again as we seek God's will and way for us. And as we begin today, let us pray. Spirit of the Holy God, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this day. Bless your church with strength, O Lord. Bless your preacher with some words. Bless all of us in hearing something from you that we might be built up in our faith and strengthened to go out to live lives as your people. All of this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A 90-year-old woman in the congregation told me recently that when she was growing up in the 1930s, a Roman Catholic friend invited her to church one time. And in this Catholic church, they had something called Stations of the Cross. Maybe you're familiar with it. And this friend told her what to do. She said, just move from one station to the next and say a prayer at each one. But the only prayer that this woman knew, who was then a little girl, was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And so she went around from station to station praying this prayer. It was the only one she knew, over and over again. And she said by the end of it all, she really was ready to take a nap. Sometimes in our prayer lives, I think we're a lot like this woman. Sometimes it seems like we only know one way how to pray. Or maybe we fall back again and again into prayer patterns that essentially sound like this. Dear God, please, 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 amen. Does that sound familiar to you? Well, one of the purposes that we have in this Lenten series about prayer is to raise up for you five distinctive types of prayer and to show you places in the Bible where these show up. In this season of transition for our church, it seems especially important to make and take time for prayer. And so in this series, we hope to gain a better understanding of what prayer is about and to develop some prayer tools as well. Last week, Pastor Glenn was preaching about prayers of praise and adoration, and today we're talking about prayers of confession. One of the great examples of this kind of prayer that we find in the Bible is from Psalm 51, which we read together today. It's one of the so-called penitential psalms. These are essentially prayers crying out to God, confessing sin, seeking forgiveness, and trusting that God can heal our broken relationships. The context of Psalm 51, the backstory, if you will, is that this was a prayer that King David prayed after he had been caught up in a very serious and sinful situation. We remember the story. It was springtime, and on a warm and luxurious spring afternoon, the king went up on the roof of his palace. He looked out and surveyed all that was before him, all that was under his control. And as he did, he looked down and saw a beautiful young woman, and she was taking a bath. Well, he sent his people to find out just who this woman was, and it turned out she was a married woman. She was the wife of Uriah. But the king was quite full of himself and his power and his position, and so he sent for her, and he slept with her, and he sent her away. Well, it wasn't long afterward that this woman, whose name was Bathsheba, that she sent word to the king and said, guess what? I'm pregnant. So David was caught in his sin, but he tried to wiggle his way out of it. He called for her husband, who was a soldier at the time serving in the field, and he brought him home and said, listen, Uriah, you've earned a little break. Why don't you spend some quality time with your wife? Because David figured that the paternity of the pregnancy could easily be pinned on that patsy, Uriah. But Uriah refused to enter his house. He refused to sleep in his bed while all of his army buddies were still out there in the field. Instead, he slept on the front porch. So again, David was caught in his sin, but again, he tried to find a way out of it. The next day, David sent Uriah back to the front lines, and he conspired to have him killed and to make it look like an accident. With the husband out of the way, it would be easy to suggest that, yes, Uriah had been the one who fathered this child. David thought he was safe. He thought he had successfully managed his sin. And this is our temptation as well, that rather than confessing our sin, so often we seek to manage our sin instead. Sin management is ultimately about putting our trust in ourselves. It's about believing that we can handle or fix any situation we find ourselves in. Because when we... So this is sin management, but confession is different. When we confess the truth, when we lay bare the parts of our lives that we are not really very proud of, this is actually not just a confession of sin, but it's a confession of faith. Confession of sin is really a confession of faith. It's a question of who we put our trust in. Is it in ourselves, or is it in God? David gets caught. The prophet Nathan comes to him and lays out the evidence against David for what he has done. He shows how David has tried to manage his sin, to cover it up, and to make it go away all on his own. But he can't, and he's caught. And so finally, he confesses. You'll notice in Psalm 51 how David's confession about what he has done with Bathsheba and Uriah is framed as a statement of trust in God's power and willingness to forgive. Unlike earlier when he was just managing his sin, shifting around some pieces and trying to get out of it on his own, here he doesn't give any excuses. He doesn't explain things away, but he honestly confesses what he's done. And in doing so, he confesses his faith in a God who forgives. As the king, he could have just pushed Nathan aside. He could have claimed royal authority. He could have continued with his sinful denial. And so can we. We too can choose to trust in ourselves, to believe that we are strong enough or clever enough or godly enough to work our way out from under what we've done. And David, who started out this way, in the end, doesn't choose to do that. Of course, he got caught, so he didn't have much of a choice. Instead, he calls on God and says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." It's in God's love and mercy that he trusts, rather than in himself. He says, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." His faith is that God has the power and the desire to wash him and make him clean. A Bible scholar named Albertus Peters puts it this way. He says, "The only hope for a man so born into a life where sin is a reality and not just a theological idea. The only hope for a person like that, a person like King David, a person like you, a person like me, our only hope is in the cleansing grace of God. Our hope is not in our own ability to manage or clean up or straighten out what we've done, but our hope is that in confessing our sin and in humbling ourselves before God and in speaking the truth about who we are and what we've done, that our sin, which we maybe set out to do or perhaps stumbled into, that our sin, when it's brought before God, might be forgiven. God, who is gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, that this God will and can and does forgive." It's not up to us in this sense. This is God's gracious action toward us. I was in a Bible study class recently where we were talking about parenting strategies, and some different people were sharing about the different ways that we discipline our children. And one woman said that when her daughter does something wrong, her daughter has to say, "I'm sorry." And then the mother will always respond, "That's okay." And after a while of doing this, the daughter kind of caught on. And so now when she does something wrong, she says, "I'm sorry." And then she also says, "It's okay." She takes on both roles. But in a way, this is a healthy little girl because she's learning from a young age how to say she's sorry, to confess what she's done, and also how to extend forgiveness and grace. This is God's way, and it is our way as well. We who are called on to forgive those who trespass against us. But there are skeptics, and perhaps you are one of them. People who wonder, is this really the way that all of this could work? Is it truly that simple? Someone once said that confession is good for the soul only in the sense that a tweed jacket is good for dandruff. It's good at hiding it, but it doesn't change the fact that it's still there. Could it be as simple as it sounds, where we realize our sin and we bring it to God and we are forgiven and reconciled, and then what next? Back to the beginning and a return to sinning? Is that how it's meant to work? Well, actually, there's another part of Christian confession and forgiveness that we haven't touched on yet today, and it's called repentance. Repentance comes from a Greek word in the New Testament. The word is metanoia. We've talked about it before. It's a word that simply means to turn around and go in a new direction. To turn around and go in a new direction. When we practice sin management and put our faith in ourselves to fix whatever is going wrong, the outcome is always the same. We continue to muddle along in the same direction. We're not convinced that anything is really that wrong. So we continue along. But when we practice Christian confession, we come to a place where we realize that we have sinned and that we can't fix it on our own. And so we pray and bring it to God. And then through God's power and desire to forgive, we are given a fresh start. We are given a new chance. It's out of this fresh start, out of God's unfailing love for us, that we can make a turn in our lives. That we can turn away from the sin which has entrapped us, that we can turn into a new direction for our lives. One of the reasons that prayers of confession are so important is that it's out of confession that comes forgiveness. And it's out of forgiveness that we get this fresh start or this next chance to go in a new direction. And it's in going in a new direction that leads us to the transformation that God has for us, that leads us to being formed more and more, little by little, into the people God calls us to be. If you are going to pray just one prayer this week, let it be a prayer of confession. Let it be, "Have mercy on me, O God, a sinner." Put your faith and your trust and your life into God's hands once again this week, and God will never, ever let you go. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the Batman family forward. Some portion thereof.
Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded.
and lo, I am with you always to the close of the age. Obeying the word of our Lord Jesus and sure of his presence with us, we baptize those whom he has called to be his own. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to forgive our sins and has joined us together into the family of faith, which is his church. He has delivered us from darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. In Jesus Christ, God has promised to be our Father and to welcome us as brothers and sisters of Christ. Brooke, know that these promises of God are for you. By baptism, God puts his sign on you to show that you belong to him and gives you the Holy Spirit as a guarantee that sharing Christ's reconciling work, you will also share his victory, that dying with Christ to sin, you will be raised with him to new life.
Megan and Nathan, in presenting Brooke for baptism today, you announce your faith in Jesus Christ and that you want her to come to know Jesus, to love him, follow him, and to serve him as a chosen disciple. Please show your purpose today by answering these questions. Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior?
Do you trust in him?
Do you intend Brooke to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love?
And this question is addressed to all of the family which has gathered for this event. who are here today, do you promise through prayer and example to support and encourage Brooke as she grows into Christian faith? Do you?
This question is addressed to the congregation. Our Lord Jesus Christ ordered us to teach those who are baptized. Do you, the people of the church, promise to tell this new disciple, Brooke, the good news of the gospel, to help her know all that Christ commands, and by your fellowship, to strengthen her family ties with the household of God? If so, say we do.
We do.
I thought you'd say that. Let's pray. God of grace, we thank you for your faithfulness promised in this sacrament and for the hope we have in your Son Jesus. As we baptize with water, baptize us with your Holy Spirit so that what we say may be your word and what we do may be your work. By your power, may we be made one with Christ our Lord in common faith and purpose. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Brock. Are you ready? There we go. What is the Christian name of your daughter?
Brooke Elizabeth.
I have to switch around here. Brooke Elizabeth Backman. Child of God, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. See the love of God that shows forth on Brooke as she is called and claimed as God's own, as she is celebrated in this gift of baptism, as she is made one with us in this community of faith, just as we did with Lily a few years ago. We need to remind you all of the promises that you just made to nurture this child in the faith, and she stands here as a symbol, well, she sits here as a symbol, as one of many in this community that we have been blessed with, one of so many who we want to share the faith with and enjoy this. Her little cousin wants to be made known too. We're glad that Aiden is here at 6 weeks as well. But reminding us that we have promised to nurture these children in faith and in trust for as long as they are in our care. We celebrate this day with Brooke, with Lily, with the Backman family, with all of us who have been so blessed and gifted in grace.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in your infinite mercy and goodness has promised that you will not only be our God, but also the God and parent of our children, we humbly pray for your child, Brooke, that your spirit may be upon her and dwell in her forever. Take her, we entreat you, under your care and protection. Guide her and bless her in body and soul. Grant her to grow in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and with all people. Abundantly enrich her with your heavenly grace. Bring her safely through the perils of childhood. Deliver her from the temptations of youth, and lead her to witness a good confession and to persevere unto the end. O God, our Creator, we give unto you your servants, Megan and Nathan, to whom you have given this blessed trust, the assurance of your unfailing providence and care. Guide them with your counsel as they teach and train Brooke, and help them to lead their household into an ever-increasing knowledge of Christ and a more steadfast obedience to his will. We commend to your godly care all the children and families of this congregation. Help us in our homes to honor you, and by our love to serve one another and our neighbor. All of these things we pray with blessing and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome the newest disciple of Jesus Christ.
Okay. Congratulations.
Congratulations, sis.
We have a rare treat today to celebrate a double Sacrament Sunday. You know, it was when he was with his disciples that Jesus took the bread after he had risen and broke it, and their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This table which is set before you is one that is meant to draw from the north and the south, the east and the west, drawing all people together to share in the bounty and the feast that is provided. This table is not a Presbyterian table. It's not open only to members of this particular congregation, but it is open to all who seek to put their trust, their confession, in Jesus Christ. This table is open for you this day.
Please join with me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Let us pray. Pour forth your Spirit, O God, on these your holy gifts, that the bread we break and the cup we share might be a testimony to your Spirit alive in our midst. Let us come with humble hearts, with confession, as we come to this table, as we seek to be renewed in your Spirit, as we seek to be emboldened by your love, as we seek to live lives of truth in your ways. Take now these common elements and set them apart to the holy use which you have commanded and which we celebrate this day. In Christ we pray. Amen.
We will be taking communion today by the ancient practice of intinction, which means once we begin, you will come forward, take a piece of bread, dip it in the cup and eat it right then. You can return to your seats. We'll be singing together. Let us break bread together as we come forward. Hear now the words of institution of our Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, after they had eaten, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of our Lord until he shall come again." Come, the gifts of God for the people of God.
Let us pray. O God of all days and of this day, of all families and of this family, of all churches and this church, we pray to you today. You have led us and fed us at this table, strengthening us for our journey through Lent and through the unanswered questions of our lives which still loom before us. You have fed us by your word in Scripture, through prayer and song, through your word proclaimed and sealed in sacrament. We give you thanks this day that your faithfulness begins before we know have any words to speak. We thank you for your love shown this day in the baptism of Brooke. We give you thanks that at this table your faithfulness continues, that we might experience again your presence and your peace and your purpose for us. We give you thanks that your faithfulness to us extends beyond this short hour and into all that lies ahead. Bless us now as we prepare to leave, as we go out into a waiting world. May we confess our faith in you, even as we bring to you our whole lives, our true selves, all that we are. All these things we pray, holding fast to the one that holds on to us, Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Let us extend our thanks and appreciation of God through our tithes and offerings.